This is a Triple J podcast.
If you had the choice to quit your algorithm, would you do it? Opt out of the noise, the distraction, reclaim control of your social media feed? Is it even possible? How would it work? Could it help change society? I'm Dave Marchese with our long listen for the week, a chat with advocate Chanel Contos. You probably know Chanel's name. In 2021, a simple Instagram poll she put up asking students about their experiences of assault catapulted her onto the national stage. Soon, she was changing the conversation around consent in this country, meeting with political leaders. She's been recognised not only here, but overseas for her activism and social change. Now she's got a new priority. Chanel wants to fix our feeds. And in this chat, she's going to tell you why.
We're really concerned about the radicalisation of young men online. However, there's a lot of reasons that someone might want to turn their algorithm off.
Explain how it would work.
We are not trying to take anything away from Australians. We're not trying to tell Australians that their feeds are bad or that they should change anything. We're simply saying we should have this option.
And put her case forward for why this could be an investment in your future.
This might be something that you don't want now, but you might really want it in 3 years.
So here it is, my chat with Chanel Contos from Teach Us Consent. Chanel Contos from Teach Us Consent, welcome to Hack.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why do you think we should be able to turn our algorithms off?
I think there's a lot of reasons to argue for algorithms being turned off. There's a lot of conversation at the moment about social media bans. I think this would be another policy that could provide a softer landing to social media for young people. I also think there's a lot of people who don't feel like they fully relate to the content that comes on their screens. We're coming at this from a violence prevention perspective, and because of that, we're really concerned about the radicalization of young men online. However, there's a lot of reasons that someone might want to turn their algorithm off. For example, there's a lot of disordered eating content, self-harm content, and other harmful content that can come across our screens. And then also, again, this is all just about choice. So you might just want an algorithm-free weekend. And that means that with a setting change, you can have that.
So ideally, yeah, what would it look like? Would it mean that you would just be getting the posts, the stories from the people you do follow?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like taking it back to Instagram in 2010 for the OGs who were on it then. It's chronological order of people you follow. And it would also be a reemergence of hashtags because that is how you would find new content that you actively want to see. We are coming from the assumption that most people who receive misogynistic content on their phones do not actively seek it out, and it's propagated to them. And that's been backed up by research and experiments that have been done by Dublin University, where they created fake dummy accounts and just simply said, I'm a boy or a man. And all of these accounts received extreme misogynistic content within 23 minutes of sign up. So the fact that that's being sent to them, I think, is testament to the fact that we can flip the switch on this and take control back over what we see.
When we talk about algorithms, though, what does that mean? Because people hear the word a lot, but they might not understand what it is and why it's in place and why these social media platforms have the algorithms. Are you able to give a bit of an explanation?
I can try.
So it's hard. This is hard.
Algorithms are essentially a set of rules and instructions that social media companies put in place. And based on those rules and instructions, the algorithm informs the feed, so decides what content to give out to you. And currently the way social media companies are run is they're profit-driven first and foremost, which means they're essentially trying to galvanize our attention as much as they possibly can, which means that by invoking emotions such as anger or outrage or also desire and insecurity and massive ones, they know that we're going to stay on their platforms for longer because we're going to have that like reaction to the post or that dopamine from it or like whatever it is. Therefore, they're going to increase their profits. So the algorithms are currently profit maximizing in the rules behind them, which is also why this content that is extremely polarizing gets pushed out first and foremost. And then algorithms take in data from the general demographic that you're within. So they might say, you know, you are a middle-aged woman living in a metropolitan city. They'll vibe you out based on that. And then they'll also take really specific data from you. How often do you watch to the end of a video? Oh, every time there's a tiny cat on your screen, you watch to the end. How quickly do you scroll off a video? Oh, as soon as someone's talking about politics, you don't care and you move on? Or like, do you save videos? Do you send them to your friends? Do you like them? All those, that information is collected as well. And if you turn off your algorithm, that personalized information wouldn't be able to be collected.
Do you reckon a lot of people understand how algorithms work? Like the young people that you speak to every day as part of your research, as part of your work, do they fully comprehend what is being harvested and how they work?
It's a good question. I think that maybe the fact that they're engineered to keep us online for longer is maybe not as well understood. But I do think young people have a pretty good grasp of the concept of the fact that our data is consistently being mined. I think the thing about this is also, if you like your algorithm and if you like getting hyper-targeted ads because, you know, it's handy because it tells you exactly, you know, what Christmas presents to buy for that person you've been looking for, you can just keep it on.
Because there would be people listening now who are thinking, well, I really like my algorithm and maybe it's helped me find a community that I wouldn't have found before. I see a lot of content that I don't have to seek out, but I'm really happy to receive. You're saying it's not a forced algorithm turn off. You could decide.
No, a teacher's consent. We're all about choice, and this policy is first and foremost about informed and affirmative consent. That's why we're actually asking for an opt-in to the algorithm. So the default when you download a social media app is that the algorithm is not on, and then you have to choose to enter it, which is affirmative consent. And then turning it on and off at will can be done whenever you want. We are not trying to take anything away from Australians. We're not trying to tell Australians that their feeds are bad or that they should change anything. We are simply saying we should have this option so individual people can choose how they use social media. Because currently, if you're someone who thinks, like, my algorithm doesn't serve me, your options are to, like, then be socially isolated from a platform that can bring a lot of good and connection or continue to see this content. And that's something we kept hearing from a lot of boys as well, that they kind of knew that this thing was wrong and they had, like, wanted to get out of it. This messaging about women being property and this messaging that promotes, like, a lot of anger towards women and like entitlement around their sexual gratification or all those things. But then again, in a moment of insecurity, you can slip so easily back into that if it's constantly being pushed onto your screen. And then we hear a lot as well. A lot of my friends have actually said it to me that they get a lot of content around dating that really doesn't serve them and doesn't like affiliate with their beliefs, because it's very much basically saying like it's a whole like trad wife thing and like how to be demure and how to be a high value woman so a high value man will want you, and you know that that's not what you think. So again, if you're just like, I don't want to go down that, that's fine. And also, like, I personally love my TikTok algorithm. I would totally keep my TikTok algorithm on. Instagram algorithm, totally sick of it.
Is it possible to turn it off? Like, because some people would be maybe listening going, oh, that's just social media. Like, if you turned it off, would it all just stop? Like, can we be turning it off and turning it on, or can the platforms allow for us to do that?
It's totally possible, but the only people who can make it possible is the government, because it does require regulation. So that either has to be self-regulation, and social media companies have said, you know, they've told us loud and clear that they don't want to self-regulate. And there's also been a lot of whistleblowers recently come out from social media companies saying that they're aware that their products are addictive. They're aware of the harm that's being caused and the content that's going across the screens, particularly of young people. They don't care. We do need the government to step in. I think big tech companies really benefit from the fact that we think they're so hard to regulate. But with good collective action and a willing government, we have the Online Safety Act up for review next year. And this is a completely possible policy. And it's also a very similar one has been done in the EU.
Yeah, I was reading on your open letter, you said there have been steps already in the European Union. What have they done?
The European Union has done an opt-out feature, which is almost what we're saying, but we're asking for an opt-in. So again, that default being when you download a platform, the algorithm doesn't exist, your data's not automatically being collected, and then you can choose to enter it if you so wish. So again, the whole idea of affirmative consent being playing out on our screens. The fact that it's happened in the EU also shows that it's like completely possible.
Okay, so people are already having these decisions in front of them in parts of the world. They're already...
It's very new, so we haven't been able to evaluate it yet, but yeah.
Okay. What is the content that you're most worried about, Chanel, in terms of young people and what they're coming across?
We are hearing from teachers, from parents and from young people themselves that there has been a very sudden and notable rise in misogynistic attitudes, misogynistic language and behaviours in classrooms, at the home and in friendship groups. And a lot of people like really don't know what to do about it and they're really jarred by it. I mean, we've all heard about Andrew Tate at this point. But for every Andrew Tate, there's 1,000 more, and then 1,000 more behind them. we are really worried about these misogynistic attitudes being so normalized and being brought into the mainstream. They've obviously always existed, but they've existed on fringe culture and they've been brought much more central. And there is a correlation between believing these misogynistic attitudes and being someone who endorses or is likely to perpetrate violence against women. What we're seeing in teenage boys is a rise in perpetration of sexual violence. And unfortunately, for the first time ever, teenage boys have overtaken adult males as the most likely perpetrator of child sexual abuse.
I heard you say that this week, and that just astounded me.
Yeah. I mean, it talks to two things, because we've had a decline in adult perpetrated child sexual abuse, which is an amazing thing, but it also shows a rising rate of perpetration of teenage boys. So that's on teenage girls, and it's most specifically current or former partners or someone known to the victim. So we're not entirely sure why that is, but this was a very significant and world-leading study that came out of Australia. It's called the Australian Child Maltreatment Study, if you want to look into it more.
Has there been much support for what you're putting forward in the in this campaign, Chanel? Like, I had a look at the open letter and you've got some big names already who've signed it, including former prime ministers. You've got celebrities, advocates, people who are experts in this space as well. Are you finding that there is a real desire to take action here?
Yeah, big time. And we've also, I'm speaking now about 30 hours after we initially launched, and we've got over 2,000 signatures already on our open letter. So please do go and sign that if you're listening to this and thinking this is something I would want. But yeah, we've gotten cross-party support. We've had, I think, pretty much all the independents have now signed on to the letter. We've got Greens senators signed on to the letter. We have former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull signed on to the letter. And Julia Gillard very kindly posted on LinkedIn and Instagram about our campaign. So given that Innovert support, which is really lovely.
I mean, the letter's addressed to the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. Are you hopeful that you might be able to have a chat with him or talk to him about this, convince him of the merits of something like this?
Yeah, I'm definitely hopeful around that. I mean, it's really early days. We would love to hear from the government whenever they're ready. I do think that Australia is in a position where they're ready and committed to be world leading in online safety, as we are just seeing that as a new and a rising problem.
There are a lot of people, obviously, who support the government's moves for this social media ban, which is due to come into effect next week. And obviously, there'd be a lot of people who'd support this campaign to clean up their feeds and make sure we give people control over their social media. There would also be those, though, who say that this is overreach, that we shouldn't be interfering. What would you say to those people?
I would say to those people that you don't have to use this feature. Again, we're all about choice. We don't want to take anything away from anyone. If you like your feeds the way they are, that's amazing. But what I really like about this policy that we're proposing is that if you're someone who wants to use it, or someone who you want to ask someone else to use it, so again, parents to their kids, or from having conversations over the last few days, I think we talk about young people a lot, but I'm sure there's a lot of listeners now that are really worried about the content that their parents are watching. Mm. And they maybe don't have the same critical thinking skills or media literacy skills that we have in terms of online content. Because for them, it was kind of like, if a piece of information was printed in the paper, it was truth.
Such a good point. Like, there would definitely be nobody who's listening now who hasn't had a situation with a parent or a grandparent and had to explain, oh, that's not real, or absolutely, yeah.
Super prone to misinformation and disinformation. And it sounds so condescending, but again, I think it's just we grew up being a bit more skeptical of every piece of information that's come to us. So yeah, it's something that you could just flick off your parents' phones or your grandparents' phones and try de-radicalize wherever they're going.
De-radicalize parents. There's a lot of people who are pretty keen on that idea. Chanel, can I ask you about the social media ban that is going to come into effect next week? Like, what are your thoughts on that? As someone who has been in the education space and who has really been driving consent education in this country, how do you feel about what is going to be implemented?
I have a nuanced view on this, but at the end of the day, sitting here as the CEO of a violence prevention organization, I support the social media delay. I would much prefer that tech companies regulated themselves and that we didn't have to do this. I would much prefer, you know, adequate regulation for young people. I think it's a really good first step, given the fact that nothing else is currently on the table. I think that this proposal for algorithm regulation in terms of opt-in and turn-off is a very, very, very good second step, because that would provide a softer landing for teens when they do enter social media. And I think we do need to look at the like bigger picture thinking about it, because obviously there's always going to be a ways to get around age restrictions, and young people on the internet have been doing that as long as the internet has existed. I don't even know where the internet's going to go in the next few years. I think that's also something I really want to highlight about this policy. This might be something that you don't want now, but you might really want it in 3 years, because everything's changed so fast, and like we probably can't even comprehend what social media is going to look like if it keeps advancing the way it does, and it keeps, you know, intentionally being addictive and, you know, consuming of people's time.
Chanel, I want to focus on you now for a second. We're gonna switch from the campaign, because you've been busy in recent years, and you've done your master's at Oxford, or you've been doing that. You've got a book that's being released in the United States. You have grown Teacher's Consent so much over the past few years. How is life for you at the moment? It seems very chaotic, but also amazing and beautiful. I follow you on socials. You're doing all these amazing things all the time. What's it like?
It's been so fun. It's been really stressful. I'm not going to lie. Oxford was really stressful, not because Oxford was stressful, but because basically what happened was classic. The funding for Teachers' Consent was just like taking ages, you know, government happens, whatever. And I was like, oh, this might not happen. So I'm going to like move on with my life. So I applied for this master's, and then as life goes, got into the master's, and the, you know, funding got announced and agreed in the same week. And I was like, oh my God, now what do I do?
It all happens at once.
It all happens at once. And I was just like, I'm just going to have to do this. We can't drop either of these balls. So we had an amazing team at Teachers Consent that ran the government project. It was called the Promoting Consent Initiative, but I don't usually say that word because it makes it sound really boring and government-y. So let's rephrase that to a suite of resources that Teachers Consent created for 16 to 25 year olds. And we reached 6 million young Australians on average 8 times each, 54 million impressions across the campaign. We had higher engagement from girls and women, but boys and men who did engage were actually more likely to click through all the way to our website to go through our resources.
That's so interesting.
So cool, so great, and such a testament to the fact that this content is wanted by young people, and they want to engage in healthy relationships and intimacy. So yeah, anyway, that was chaos because I was basically doing a full-time master's and working like 4 days a week, which I really don't recommend anyone does. And then I was also working on like an opposite time zone. And then I was also writing the updated version to my US book. So everything was like really, really, really stressful until September. And then since September, everything's been really great and smooth sailing. And I did my final Oxford policy report, actually like the final dissertation thing on algorithm regulation.
Wow. So is that how you kind of really got into this space, that it was through your work and study at Oxford that you were like, hold on, we should be doing more at home?
Yeah, well, my degree was in public policy, so we had to like pick a thing, and I wanted to pick something that I could do in the real world after, so I picked this.
It's also massive that you were kind of doing a uni assignment and it's now turned into this national campaign.
Well, that's how Teachers Consent started.
Yeah.
My uni assignment
was
on...
Yeah, of course. This is just a theme for you. You're actually, I might just kickstart this into gear.
I'll take a year to think about something, and then once I think it's a good idea, we'll send it. Yeah. So that's been really great. Things are good now. They've settled down.
That's good to hear. I mean, do you ever think back to that Instagram like poll that you did all those years ago and how your life has changed so much since then?
So I realized the other day that we're almost at 5 years, which made me feel really old. And then I was also like, wow, this is my life now.
Are you proud when you look back on all the stuff that's been achieved?
I'm so proud. And it is really crazy. Like I said, the team behind it, I've just come off a Teachers Consent retreat where we're all together for a few days reflecting on the government project that we so successfully did. And it's pretty surreal to think, oh my God, this is like all happening and this is like all of us together in this.
Thank you so much for coming in and having a chat with us, not just about this campaign that you've launched, and we'll have the details for where people can find out more information about that, but also just to check in on how you've been going, because it has been a massive few years. Chanel Contos from Teachers Consent, thank you very much for joining us.
No, thank you. Triple J has been such a important part of this journey, constantly reporting on it and championing the youth-led movement, so we appreciate it so much.
And if you do want to know more about this campaign, even add your name to the open letter that Chanel's written to the Prime Minister, you can do all that on the Teachers Consent website, which is teachusconsent.com. Remember, if you liked this, we do have longer chats like this one going up every week. So make sure you subscribe to the Hack Podcast.
And if you do that, you won't miss them. Go follow us on Triple J Hack on Instagram and TikTok too. That is all for now. I'll catch you next time.